Hi, this is Ewan Kerr. I'm one of the Cube Critics, along with Stephanie Curtis. We're going to listen again to a podcast we did last year about one of the great performers of modern cinema, Toni Collette.
Hereditary opens this weekend, and it's well-written, well-directed, beautiful cinematography.
But scary as all get out.
But it would not work without the central performance by Toni Collette as a woman who is first grieving, not just because her mother died, but also because of the terrible relationship they had. And then slowly she becomes obsessed with the idea of reaching out to those in her family who are no longer with her. And it's terrifying.
Okay, so, but we're going to talk about
Toni Collette.
And now, from deep in the cheap seats, it's the Cube Critics.
I would say that I will see any movie with Toni Collette in it, but the woman works so much. It's like, you may like Michael Caine.
How many has she made?
I have no idea, but she's just in film and TV. She's a working actress. And so,
dozens,
in fact,
dozens and dozens.
It's like, you may like Michael Caine, but you're not going to see every Michael Caine film because he will work in anything. But I do love a great Toni Collette performance, and I want to talk about some of the movies that she's been in that we should see. What do you recommend?
Well, I want to go back to the beginning, or pretty close to the beginning, and Muriel's Wedding.
That movie.
Yes.
And her, I felt like, where did they find this person? Because it had to be completely the perfect person to play that role, and she nailed it.
Yeah. So this is the story about a young woman growing up in a dead-end tourist town called Porpoise Spit.
Oh, my gosh. I forgot the name of it.
In Australia. And she, you know, she's a daydreamer, and she's also obsessed with ABBA, but she's also kind of awkward and, frankly,
the people around her think
really
that
nasty
she's...
She's weird.
They treat her like she's a loser. She's not.
And she basically starts trying to change her life, particularly after some of the local mean girls are particularly mean to her.
Yeah.
And launches on, you could see it as a life of crime in a way, but you could also see it as a life of redemption. And off she goes, trying to fulfill her dream of getting married and moving on with her life. And along the way, she runs into her friend Rhonda, who is just this free spirit who basically gives her the self-confidence to go and do what needs to be done. But the thing that's great about this movie, it starts off as this kind of flighty, feel-good kind of thing, and then it takes you to some really dark places. And I remember when I saw it, which must have been back then in the early 90s, thinking, where is this going? Because it just takes off, and you're going, whoa. And it has an ambiguous ending, too, which you can take away from it whatever you want.
It has some incredibly broad comedy. It's really feminist.
Oh, yes.
And it gets to some real, true, brutal emotions about if you are a person who grew up feeling like one of the people on the outside, what that feels like, and just a beautiful movie. It seems so refreshing and groundbreaking at that when it came out, and I feel like if the movie came out now, it would still feel refreshing and groundbreaking.
Of course, it's in Australia. This is her breaking out in her home country, and a lot of the things that are skewered in the film are both specifically Australian.
Yes.
And the patriarchal society there. But also, you know, it applies to much of the world, what she's going after, with a very appropriate Australian tinge.
Yeah. God, I love her performance in that. And so Toni Collette in 1994. But at that point, you know, she's playing kind of an ugly duckling, and she does not transform into a regular beautiful swan. She's got quirky features. She's really got the big teeth and the big mouth. And, you know, she's just really full of life, but she's not a traditional sex symbol. And so to see her
and
then
also
transformed.
Kind of the shoulders of an Australian rules football player.
It's true. It's true. And then to see her as Mandy Slade in Velvet Goldmine just a couple years later, like 4 or 5 years mm-hmm. later, not that, you know, like, you know, felt like she'd been around for a while, but she'd never portrayed anything like this. This is the movie about basically kind of a Bowie, Iggy Pop era of glam rock. And she plays an American, really sexy American who is entwined with some of these men romantically and is supposed to be a siren that's irresistible and remote. And if you had told me that broad, toothy girl in Muriel's Wedding could in a few years portray somebody slinky, sexy, American, I was gobsmacked at her range. And she, when some of the other actors in the movie are really following flights of fancy and are portraying rock stars, and she has to ground it in what it would be like to be an almost normal human being and have relationships with these men. And she just nails it. And a lot of it is just her sitting, giving an interview, reminiscing, which can be a staid kind of not very involving way, but her jaded sitting there being interviewed just felt like she had the decades of life that had passed by her. It is an incredible performance, and it's so wonderful to have seen her range so soon. I love that. Velvet Goldmine.
I want to jump forward a number of years to something that's relatively recent.
Okay.
And it's TV, too. Have you seen The United States of Tara?
I never watched it. I don't know why. I wasn't interested in the premise.
Yeah. Well, it is kind of a strange premise.
Yeah.
She plays Tara, who is this suburban Kansas housewife mm-hmm. who has what is now known as dissociative identity disorder, which in the old days was she has multiple personalities. And she is trying to lead a normal family life with her loving husband and two kids. But they never know who's going to be there when they come home from work or from school. She could be herself, mm-hmm. or she could be a 1950s housewife. She could be a fairly kind of drunk male Vietnam vet. She could be a flirty teenager. And actually, as the series goes on, other personalities appear. And It was this combination of both very funny, but also very human and touching on some real issues about family life and also mental health. And how do you deal with this? And just a crackerjack cast, too, because so there is Tony, but then John Corbett plays her husband. We have Rosemary DeWitt plays her sister.
I love Rosemary DeWitt.
Brie Larson played her daughter.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and then Patton Oswalt plays kind of the neighbor who kind of falls for the sister. And then Eddie Izzard turns up at some point to play a psychotherapist. And it's just this wonderful, well, I don't want to say confection because that makes it sound too light, but it's just a very interesting.
Are they half-hour episodes or hour episodes? Do you remember? Sorry to put you on the spot.
I can't remember.
I was just wondering if you're like...
I think they're like 40 minutes or so,
okay,
45, because they've had the commercials taken out of it.
Okay.
So. But apparently the idea originally came from Steven Spielberg, but it was then written by Diablo Cody.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
She wrote the script. She ran the mm-hmm. show. And... you know, if you have seen Tully, mm-hmm. you'll see there's some echoes
similarities.
Here.
All right,
there's some echoes here. So,
United States of Tara.
Well, I don't know. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong.
I won't.
Because she had like 17 names in this thing because different personalities somewhere. So,
in About a Boy.
Oh yes.
I love her so much in About a Boy. So About a Boy, if you haven't seen it, you really should. It's delightful. Hugh Grant plays Will Freeman, a dude who doesn't have to work because he makes enough money since off the rights of his father's song. What was it called? Santa's Superpowered Sleigh or something.
Some cheesy Christmas hit
that gets played enough that he gets royalties, and he doesn't, you know, so he doesn't, he's not super, super rich, but he really doesn't have to do anything. And he's never done anything. And then he gets pulled into this world with Toni Collette, who plays and the mother of a little boy named Marcus. And Marcus has a terrible haircut, and he's just kind of geeky, and he's played by Nicholas Holt. And Hugh Grant gets enmeshed in this woman's life, Fiona, and her son, and there is no romantic connection between the two. She does not have a crush on him. He does not have a crush on her, but she is a disaster, and she's always crying. She's always wearing bizarre sweaters that are sewn out of some kind of a yarn that is like draped weirdly, and she so fully inhabits this disaster of a human that you cannot, but you can just see what a nightmare she is, and you don't want to be around her, but you still really like her and like the amount of fight she is putting in for her son. She's depressed. She can't get anything together, but she still loves her son and wants him to be happy and wants things to work out for him. So she's like this disastrous, weeping, sniveling mama bear, and she is wonderful. I just love it. And she's got a terrible haircut. She carries it so well. She just puts everything into these characters, and she just seems to have so much affection for them. It's delightful.
Let's talk about the elephant in the room, though, with this movie.
What?
There are some people who cannot bear to watch any movie with Hugh Grant.
Who?
In it. Oh, I've met them.
Really?
Meet them at parties. Yeah. I meet them at parties. But maybe they're just British. I don't know. But, I mean, do you think they balance each other out?
They balance each other out because he has to learn that he's a jerk and just as messed up as she is. And he is a disaster, although he doesn't appear to be. He's got a nice life. It's all nicely contained. And he realizes she brings out real humanity in him. And I think it's a great almost send-up of Hugh Grant, that he's willing to play this guy who's so plasticky, perfect-seeming, and has to learn how to be human. And I love Hugh Grant. I love seeing him. He always seems to be willing to, like, make fun of himself, and as he should, because I would not want to be his spouse, his girlfriends, or anything like
see?
That.
See, now we're
yeah.
getting... No.
But there's a delightful loathing that comes with Hugh Grant.
Okay. I have a serious question.
Yes.
Which actually Toni Collette brings up. One of the great things about living in our modern internet age is that if you discover a performer who you've never heard of before or you only know vaguely, and you decide, boy, I want to find out more about that person, and then you go to IMDb or wherever you get your movie thing and your movie information, and you are confronted with this immense list of titles. And you know that each one represents 90 minutes or 2 hour commitment. How do you approach a list like that?
Oh, geez. I usually start out just going to see if I can find old reviews on Ebert to see, which is just a even if you didn't always agree with him, one, he reviewed everything, and now other people have taken up the cause.
Yeah.
And even if you didn't agree with him, his reviews were so well written that you could see if you would like it.
They're well, insightful. That's the thing about critics.
And
you have to know whether you agree with them or not.
I know his taste. I grew up reading him, and that site is incredible. He has reviews of everything. So I think the first thing I do is look through and then see if it's on Ebert.
Okay.
Yeah. What about you?
Well, I just go through and see if I can recognize any of them.
Yeah.
And then look for common threads, things that maybe I've enjoyed in the past, see if there's something like that. I'm much less scientific than you are.
You're right. Well, there's because I take my time seriously, man.
Yes, yeah.
There's only so much time in the world. You've got to be careful whether you're committing yourself to something that'll be an interesting piece of history to have seen or actually something that would be truly enjoyable to watch. I can tell you about a boy, Muriel's Wedding, Velvet Goldmine. What was the other one? I have no idea. Those are all truly enjoyable to watch.
And now you're going to go and watch The United States of Tara.
You know, I'm kind of tempted now.
Yeah, at least. And
I'll give it a try.
You only need to do the first one, and you can say, yeah, you don't have to do
and I do
the three series.